Church. Right. Good to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me an opportunity to preach again. I must confess that I had a little bit of, went over and over in my mind what I should preach about this morning. And I checked it out with Phil, and he's okayed it. But not that I preached to him, but he's okayed. Well, it reminded me of a Bible college student that left the college, and it was his first church, and he went to a senior pastor that he knew, and he said, "Well, how do you know what to preach about?" And he said, "Well," he said, you read your word and you wait on God, and God will give you a word." He said, "But in one of the Psalms, the Lord says this, open your mouth wide and I will fill it." So this guy went back, and it was his first service at the church. And it was a time when we had on the platform rows of seats behind, and all the elders would sit up here, and the deacons, and the pastor would sit promptly in the middle, you know, and he's sitting there, and he says, "Time to preach." And he comes marching up to the pulpit, grabs on it, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." And nothing came. He thought, "Well, open your mouth wide and he would fill it." And nothing came. So he said, "Well, excuse me, I'll just go back." And he went back again and came up. "Behold, I'm coming quickly." And still his mind was as blank as can be. I thought, that's strange. Lots of things happen three times over in the scripture. I'm going to do it the third time. So this time, perhaps I didn't. So this time he kind of got himself together, and he raced up to the pulpit. And with the same, he went down over the front and fell right into the lap of a lady sitting on the front row. And he picks himself up. "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She said, "Don't worry, young man." She said, "You told me three times you were coming. And I should have moved out the way." I thought you'd like that one. Let's turn this morning to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I don't know if you remember, but Pastor Phil took this same scripture about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks, 3 weeks ago now. I make no apologies to turning to it again. Acts chapter 12, now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. And it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him and put him in prison, he delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. When King Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards were before the door, keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. A light shone in the prison. He struck Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Rise quickly." His chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals." And he did so. And he said, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel, that it was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl called Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced, "Peter's standing at the door." They told her, you're beside yourself, you're mad. And she kept insisting that Peter was there. They said, "It must be his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they'd opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go and tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Praise God. If you want a title for this morning's talk, "He Sets the Captive Free." He sets the captive free. I've mentioned that Pastor Phil spoke a couple of weeks back on prayer and used this chapter as a basis in his encouragement and motivation. And that Sunday night, praise God, there was over 40 of us out to the prayer meeting. So Pastor Phil, your preaching has effect, my brother. Praise God. Be encouraged. Now, I went home after that preach on that Sunday morning and read again this amazing chapter. And verse 5 seemed to lift itself from the page. "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was made to God," or directed or offered to God, "for him by the church." But constant prayer was made. Earnest prayer was offered to God for him. But here we have one of those amazing buts in Scripture. But constant prayer. The but usually denotes that a change is taking place, or things are going to be different. Let me give you an example or two. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David and his men had been out fighting, and they'd come back to their hometown of Ziklag. And as they came back to their hometown of Ziklag, they saw that the whole town was burnt with fire in a total ruin. The place was eerie and silent. There wasn't a voice to be heard. And they realized that all their wives and all their children were either burnt to death or were completely missing. They'd gone. Nobody was there. And David's men, we read, they wept and wept sorely because of seeing this and realizing the loss and bereavement. And it goes on to tell us that they spoke of stoning David, getting rid of him. "It's your fault. You had us out on this mission. And if we had stayed back home, things would have been all right. We could have defended the place. Now look, so they planned to stone him." And then we read these words, But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hallelujah. And before the chapter ends, we read that the Lord has showed him a way of recovering all. And twice or three times over in that chapter, we read, "And David recovered all." And David recovered all. Hallelujah. Here's another one. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are without hope and we're without God. Then we read, But God, who is rich in mercy of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, hallelujah, in our trespasses, has made us alive and raised us up together with Christ. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 2 again, we read that the Apostle Paul is reminding Gentile Christians that they were foreigners, they were uncircumcised, they were aliens to Israel. And then he writes, but God, Christ, has shed his precious blood and through his blood has brought us together as one in Christ Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. We read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 13, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, making intercession for us. Aren't you thankful for that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Corinthians tells us, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not us. Praise his wonderful name. In 1 John chapter 2, the first epistle of John in chapter 2, John is writing, and he writes, first of all, to young men. He writes then to fathers. He writes to children. In other words, he's including everybody. And he writes and he says, the Antichrist has gone out amongst you. And the Antichrist, there are many Antichrists amongst you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Gloom, 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 gloom. But then we read this. But, he says, you fathers, you sons, you young people, you children, everybody, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. A little further down, he writes, but that same anointing remains with you. Hallelujah. And then a little further down, he writes, but that anointing that you have received teaches you and will guide you and guard you and keep you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to turn to somebody this morning and say to them, but you have an anointing. You have an anointing, sister. Praise God. You have an anointing. You have an anointing. Come on, turn to somebody. You have an anointing. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to say it to yourself. I have an anointing. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have an anointing. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. That's made you feel better already, isn't it? Glory to God. Whatever state you came to church in this morning, you have an anointing, my friend. And that anointing remains. We're an anointed people this morning. We're an anointed gathering this morning. The anointing of the Lord is here this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah, said Jesus. And I'm anointed to preach the gospel. Praise his wonderful name. To set the captives free. To heal the brokenhearted. To open prison doors. Glory, 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 glory. Today, he says, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Oh, hallelujah. I have an anointing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Coming back to chapter 12. There are two buts in this chapter. But constant prayer was made to God for him by the church. And before the chapter closes, we read this. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Oh, hallelujah. That's the result of a praying church. And I'm praying this church will grow and multiply, my friend. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Out on the streets, there were those that were so pleased that Herod had done what he had done. He had arrested Peter and put him in prison. He had killed James with a sword. And the Jews, they were absolutely pleased about what was happening. But down the road in some street, in some home, there were those on their knees crying out to heaven, storm in heaven, hallelujah, praise God. How many of you believe this morning that the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds? Hallelujah. That's what the word of God tells me, my friends. Do you know the writers of fiction speak about the, the eternal triangle. Eternal triangle. We have something similar here in Acts chapter 12. On one hand, we have King Herod, cruel, cold, calculating. Here he is. And he's done this awful, awful thing of killing James, and now he's got the leader of the church banged up in prison. But on the other hand, we have a group of people, harmless, no weapons, but they're down in a home on their knees, storming heaven on his behalf. And up above, Herod, the church, up above, we got a mighty God that said, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Praise God. While they're praying, unknown to them, an angel is sent forth. Prison doors are open. Peter is shackles and handcuffs or whatever they use to bind him up were loosed, and he's out on the street praising God. Oh, hallelujah. Friend, I firmly believe in angels. I don't know about you, but I firmly believe in angels. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1 tells me that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to we that are heirs of salvation. The Apostle Paul had an angel stand by him on a ship that was going down. It was being shipwrecked. Everything around him was breaking up. The wind was blowing, the waves were going high over the ship. And an angel stood by him, and he stood in the morning and he said to those men, I believe God that is going to turn out exactly as the angel told me. Do you believe God this morning? Do you believe God this morning? Do you believe in God this morning, my friend? You can come to know him. You can come to trust him. You can put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to bring you into his family and into this amazing, amazing family of God, whereby we can call on the Lord and know that there's one above that will answer and deliver us from all our fears. Praise his wonderful name. Daniel had an angel. Came and closed the lion's mouth. Do you remember? In chapter 9, we read that Daniel's at prayer again. And as he's praying, we read that he's seeking God, and an angel comes to him and speaks to him. And he said, Daniel, I want to tell you, you're greatly beloved. Wow. Friend, you're greatly beloved this morning. Do you realize that? I don't care what the circumstance you're in, what conditions you come from. Friend, you're greatly beloved. This morning, hallelujah. Daniel, you're greatly beloved. And I want you to know this, Daniel. It says, I'm putting this in my own words, but this is what he said to Daniel. The moment you opened your mouth and started to pray, a command went out in heaven, and here I am. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that encouraging for us that are seeking God and praying to God? As we pray, he's interceding for us. Twice over in Holy Scripture, we read that Jesus intercedes for us. Romans chapter 8, for instance. Since God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is it that condemns? It's Christ that died, rather is risen again, and is at the right hand of the majesty on high. What's he doing? He's praying for us. Hallelujah. Friend, I'm not like the Catholics and say, Mary, pray for us. Mary, pray for me. Mary, pray for me. No, I say, Jesus, pray for me. Pray for me. Hallelujah. In Hebrews, we read, in Hebrews 7, we read that he ever liveth. We can come to him because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Psalm tells us, Psalm 34 said, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him. Psalm 91, verse 11, he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Hallelujah. Praise God. Need I say more, my friend? Even children. I was thinking last week when George was preaching about the children. Matthew 18 tells us that every child has an angel that's beholding the face of our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And reporting to him the things, the wrong things and the bad things that are done to the children. Wow. Wow. Oh, what an amazing God we have this morning. You know, too many of us are under the spell of material greatness. Too many judge things by the size, big headlines, big numbers. We feel so helpless at times. We feel small and insignificant. We've got the David and Goliath syndrome. But I want to tell you, my friend, God is still in control. Hallelujah. In control. Have you read Isaiah 40? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to those that have no might, he increases their strength. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not told you, been told you from the beginning? Every valley shall be exalted. He makes the crooked places straight. Hallelujah. The rough places smooth. That the glory of the Lord might be revealed. And that's what he's after in every one of our lives, my friends, that the glory of the Lord might be revealed in us as individuals. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. You know, Herod got his timing wrong. It says that he arrested Peter and put him in prison. Did you note it was the time of the Passover? Time of the Passover. It was a time when they were celebrating the day or the time when the Israelis were rescued, or not rescued, God delivered them from Egypt. And he delivered them because they had obeyed him and put the blood on the doorpost of their homes. They killed the lamb and put the blood there. Praise his wonderful name. And God brought them out with a mighty hand. Hallelujah. And you know how the Red Sea opened up and they all went through on the other side. Praise God. Now they're celebrating this wonderful event. Praise God. Unknown to Herod. Well, it was known to him because he had to hold Peter in prison longer than he realized because it was festival time. Praise God. And here's the church. I believe they were pleading the blood. We don't hear that much of that these days, do we? Pleading the blood. Pleading the blood. But there they are, down on their knees, pleading the blood, unaware that all this is going on. Hallelujah. If God had delivered once in such a mighty and awesome way, surely God is able to do it again. Hallelujah. Oh, have you heard that verse lately? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. If he's able to do it once, he's able to do it again. Praise God. And in any case, they remembered not only that event that they were celebrating, that amazing time in their history, but just a few years earlier, or maybe months earlier, Peter and the apostles were put in prison. You can read it in Acts chapter 5. And they're put in prison for healing a man, for delivering a man, and preaching the name of Jesus. And as they're in prison, probably house arrest, but they're there under guard, an angel of the Lord comes at night and says to them, come on, no sleeping in today. Get out. I want you to go to the temple. I want you to be in the temple. And I want you to preach the gospel in the temple. So off they go. He opened the doors and off they go in the temple. And the authorities in the morning when they wanted to bring them out and further try them and persecute them, they went to the house or the prison, whatever it was. They're gone. And somebody comes running in and says, you know those guys that you locked up in that house? They're in the temple. They're preaching. And they're speaking about the name that you tried to ban, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. That wonderful name of Jesus. So, God, you did it once, you did it twice, you can do it again. And they're crying out to God and they're pleading with God, please rescue Peter, do something, Lord. And this angel comes. And he finds Peter sleeping, fast asleep. Do you know, it's something that I do a lot of these days. I'm always falling asleep, especially when I go to relax. I go and take a book and I start to read, and suddenly the book had dropped down on the floor. Or I go to watch a program on television. And I wake up, and the thing's gone. It's all over. The news. I mean, last night, for instance, the news was on, and I'm that. And I went up to, Marge had gone up, and I come, oh, I've done it again. I said, I've fallen asleep, and the news is gone. I wanted to see that. Peter was always falling asleep. He was. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord, in that amazing scene there, Moses and Elijah, and his garments glistening, white as any soap could make them, Mark's gospel says. And they come and find Peter. He's asleep. It says, and when he woke up, he saw, and he blurts out, let's make a tabernacle, for one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Lord. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord took his disciples and he took three of them and he says, I want you to stay here and I want you to keep watch and I want you to pray. And the Lord went off a little further on and prayed. And we read, and he came back and he found them sleeping. So he went off and prayed again. And he did that three times. And the third time he said to Peter, Peter, couldn't you stay awake just 1 hour? My wife says that sometimes. Derek, she says, can't you stay awake? I want to talk to you. She timed me. When I went to bed, how long does it take you to fall asleep? One minute, 37 seconds. And she says, oh, he's gone. On the house stop in Joppa, he sleeps again. He was always sleeping. Here, he says to the guards, it's not recorded, but he must have said to the guards, I'm not staying up talking to you all night. I'm going to sleep. So the angel finds him sleeping. And he had to strike him to wake him up. And he says, come on, get up. And it's absolutely amusing, really, when you read it. He had to tell him step by step what to do. Pull yourself together. Put on your coat. Put on your sandals. follow me. It's like a kid going to school. We don't do it with Tashi now. She's more grown up. But when she was younger, have you cleaned your teeth? Have you got your homework? Have you got this? Have you got that? And this is this angel talking to Peter. Peter. And they go out. And they go down the road. And oh, hallelujah. Do you know, I think Pastor Phil mentioned it. But did you see, notice, the iron gate opened on its own accord. This is the first electronic gate ever invented. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now it's part of our lives. Churches have them to their premises. Our new premises in Croydon, they've just got them. Sliding gates as you go in, sliding doors as you go. Oh, my goodness, aren't we posh? And they're everywhere. And they're out in the street. They're out in the street. And the church is still praying. And Peter comes to the home of the house of Rhoda, and he knocks at the door, and she comes running to the door, and she recognizes, he must have called out and says, "Hi, Rhoda, it's me, Peter." And she runs back in and tells him. She says, "You must be mad." "No, I tell you, he's out there." "No, you must be mad." And they keep praying. I wonder what they were praying. "Oh, Lord, please, please, please bless Peter. Please be with Peter. Please, oh, keep him, Lord. Keep him safe, Lord. Oh, and if possible, Lord, if possible, if it is your will, please set him free, Lord." Oh, my goodness me. Here they are praying. And the poor guy is outside. And she said, I think she must have, you know, typical woman, she must have, I tell you, Peter's outside. And they eventually go outside. But this is what we read. And he keeps knocking. What a wonderful picture of the gospel, my friend. Hallelujah. John Wesley caught it in that wonderful hymn that he wrote. "My chains fell off, my heart went free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Hallelujah. Friend, Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." He keeps knocking. And I feel in my spirit this morning there's somebody here, and you've been resisting for so long, but the Savior is knocking this morning. He's knocked through circumstances in your life. He's knocked at your door on many occasions. He still knocks. And he's knocking this morning. He says, "Please, open the door. Open the door." And Peter went in, and he shared with them all what had happened, how the angel came and delivered and set him free. He sets the captive free. Hallelujah. What do we read of Peter? We read he went to another place. And that's the last we hear of him. Except his epistles, we don't hear of Peter ever again. Ever again. But what do we read? It doesn't stop there. We read that Herod went down to Caesarea and threw a great celebration event. And they praised him and magnified him. And the same angel that struck Peter for freedom struck Herod for death. And he died within a week. But the church, constant prayer was made by the church for Peter. Hallelujah. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you set the captive free, and you're able and you're willing to set somebody free here today. Are you in some kind of prison? Friend, he sets the captive free. God loves you. God bless you. for his name's sake.